This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! Put them hands up. Yeah, put them hands up. Amazing. So damn amazing.
Let's get our week started, people. You know what that music means. It's almost drunk uncle time. Let's let it play. Hope you had a good weekend.
Be free. Life in the hearts of men. Just breathe. Speak, be heard for yours and just leave. Gotta break codes of silence. Heal more straight from violence. No more police sirens. We run the lions. Come sense.
I hope you guys bob your head to this.
Rise up from hatred.
Black, white, unite the nation.
Amazing.
Unite this nation with the Drunk Uncle Podcast, right? They get all Republicans, Democrats together. And let's just all have some drinks, talk some sports, get along. But Bernie Sanders ain't invited, though. No more politics. That's it. I just gotta get in my mood. Okay. Welcome back. Someone's like, what does he have against Bernie Sanders? Well, I'm not gonna make this political, so just is what it is. But there's gonna be a lot of people who probably agree with me. Just, I don't know. Just wish he would just go away. Okay, sorry. All right, no more politics. Welcome back, because this is a sports podcast. You get into sports to get away from the politics and the craziness of the world and debates and all that other type of stuff. So you know what? I'm not going to do that. Not going to go there. Almost did. But this is your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast, and I am your drunk uncle, the one and only Anwar Richardson. Because there aren't tons of us in the world, that's all. Except for the one guy who's down there in Dunedin who has a long history of drug arrest. That Anwar Richardson sucks. And he's bringing down all the other Anwar Richardson names. But me, I am trying to uphold that name as I am recording what I believe is now my 49th podcast. Which means I got the 50th coming up. But here's what's crazy. Haven't even thought about what I'm going to do for 50. Not even quite sure I should do anything special for 50. But I now feel the pressure. I feel the pressure like, oh my goodness, you've got the 50th podcast coming. You've got to do something because that's a major number. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know how many of these things I'm going to end up doing. What, 400? So, can you really, really get like too crazy and like, oh man, do 50. But in those increments of 50, I don't know what to do. You guys have any suggestions, let me know, because I'm always open to suggestions. You guys email me, hit me up, nflonwar@gmail.com. You can DM me if you're Orange Bloods, DM me on Twitter, or hit me up on Twitter. I'm everywhere. I'm easy to be found. I could get got at any point. If anyone really wanted to take me out, you could. But no, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend. I had a really good weekend. I think I guys told you I was going to be looking at the house that we're about to purchase. Went over there, I think it was on Saturday, looked around, spent probably about a good hour or so just in the home, kind of planning, envisioning, doing all those type of things, took the kids over there. And you know, guys, you guys know how I feel about this, right? Because you know, this is all my wife. You know, this is not me. You understand this is not me, but I also understand happy wife, happy life. So wifey wants to take the kids around and show them things and let them blah, blah, blah. So I don't want to do that. Because I still want everything to be done. Tuesday is the big day for me, right? That's the appraisal day. And let's just make sure we got no problems, no hiccups, because I don't got no more money. I'm one of those people who are going to move into the house and just be like, well, back to ramen noodle soup it is, guys. I mean, these kids, they're so damn spoiled. They don't even know anything about that. But definitely had a chance to do that, and we went and looked at furniture on Sunday, and just kind of planning out certain little things, and just a little piece of furniture. We got forever to buy furniture, so let's not be crazy. But you know, when she wanted to do that, so you know, she was happy, man. She was in her element, and I was just, you know, what am I going to do? I'm not going to be that guy. You know, you can't be that guy who just kills it. It's a killjoy and taking away their excitement. So, yeah, man, I just rode out with it, rode along with it, hoping, fingers crossed. You know, my landlord is coming by. He's going to look at the house today, and he's coming with his realtor. So I'm thinking maybe he's going to try to sell the house, which would be fantastic because I think he's got a better chance to sell it than it actually would have to renting it. You know, rent prices are so high. And at that point, you know, you might as well just go ahead and buy. So I'm hoping he goes this. I know in this market, it'll go pretty fast. And then your man won't be on the hook for the rest of the rent. So well, let's keep your fingers crossed for your man. Say a little prayers, whatever it would be. But send some positive energy for me because, man, I don't want to be broke. I've been broke. Oh, man, yeah, I've been broke. I know what that's like. I have been broke before. Don't want to go back. But I joke because broke is all relative, right? We're talking about first world problems. We're not talking about like real world problems, like how do I pay my bills type of thing. So I joke about the whole situation, but that's where I'm at, man. This is, you know, if all goes well, close on March the 8th. And I am looking forward to being one of you guys that can talk about Californians moving in, even though I'm not going to complain about them because they're going to help property values go up. I could talk about property taxes. I could just complain about everything I want to complain about. I'm starting to complain about allergies. Like, I'm starting to feel more like an Austinite when I can start to just bitch about everything, right? By the way, first time listening to the podcast, I apologize. Should have let you know before, I do curse. Now that you know, it's on you. But don't change it. Just come on back later when the kids aren't around, this and that. If you're Christian, pray for me. God's not through with me yet. You know what I said it before, but you know, you Christians curse and they drink and stuff like that. I mean, you know, they just try to live a little bit of a different lifestyle. But I've had some drinks with Christians. I've heard some people curse. It's all good, man. I will be a part of the community. I think that's what the big thing is, like feeling like a part of a community. Feel like you're putting down roots finally, because I didn't want to put down roots initially. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. You know, first of all, it was like year one I got here. I signed up, it was a 4-year deal. And I said, okay, doing NFL from college. You're going from the NFL to college. Okay, what is this going to look like? Am I even going to want to do this a few years from now? Maybe not. I may just want to go back to the NFL. So, but then a lot of things happen. Got divorced. So then, you know, for sure, I definitely wasn't buying a house at that point. Then I was just living single. So, you know, I'm a single man. I got a house. I mean, that's good. You know, you don't need anything else other than that. By the way, single tip, by the way, Pimping 101, this is for you all these single guys. I got tons of information for single guys. I just need to hold a clinic for this is Pimping 101 for you guys. If you're a single guy and you start and you get your place, listen to me. If you're a single guy and you get a place, whether it's a nice apartment or it doesn't have to be super nice, but you got your own apartment or maybe getting your own house or something like that, resist the urge to go and decorate. To resist the urge to put a lot of decorations in the house. Put a couple of little things here, but don't do a lot. Don't do a lot. You know why? Because when you bring her back to the crib, women like to nest, okay? And what she wants to do is envision what she can do to decorate your place. That's the thing. So if you're going out there and you're buying everything, you're like, oh man, I gotta get this, I gotta get that, I gotta get this, I gotta get that. I'm telling you, don't do that. Pimp it 101. Keep it minimalist. Because then she's gonna come in and she's gonna look at it. And women are nesters and they're gonna say, wow, how can I decorate this? How can I make this place look nicer? You know what? I can do a couple of things for you. Oh, I'm gonna go a little shopping for you and I'll pick up little things here and things here. You know, it's gonna come over and cook for you because you realize you haven't really eaten really well. And I am telling you, it works. It works. It works. It is. I'm telling you, if you break up with her, you start dating, break up with her, just take some of that stuff and get rid of it. And then get it for the next person. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just telling you, you don't have to do that. But I'm just telling you, don't do a lot of decorations, okay? I'm just telling you. I got more pimp advice. I got to give it away because I don't really use it anymore. All I have is memories. Also, by the way, have my drink in my cup. I tried this new vodka. It's called the Luke Sisua. The guy at the Twin Liquors recommended it to me. It's a potato vodka. It's okay, but it doesn't beat my Suman. But it's not so bad. It's from Polish. It's a Polish vodka. So from the bottle, it's kind of red and white. And I thought, okay, maybe it's going to have like a little Russian flavor to it. But he said it was really smooth. Not bad. It will definitely get us through this podcast. But by the next time you guys hear me, I will be back at home and back my home base. And I'm going to get my Luke Sisua vodka. How was your weekend? You know, we're almost at the end of the month, right? Hold on. I'm going to try this Luke Sisua vodka one more time. It is It's smooth. I'll give him that. It is smooth. It's not bad. But it's not my sumo. That's all I am saying. This month is coming to an end, right? This is it. This is it. This is the end of the month, man. And I'll be quite honest with you guys. I'm ready for this month to be over. And not because of the home buying thing or anything to that effect, man. But can I just keep it real with you guys? For real? For just for a second, man? This just hasn't been the best Black History Month for my people. It's been rough. It's been rough. First of all, we got Jussie Smollett. How you say this man's name? Smollett, Jussie, Empire Dude. He messed it up for Black folks, right? I mean, he just totally messed it up. First of all, his name should be Jussie. So let's start there. His name should be Jussie, not Jussie. So we should gotta know from the get-go, we can't trust a guy who's got a jacked up name. So you start from there, right? So we got him and his whole lies. And I'm making this political, but I don't have to talk about Trump or MAGA and stuff like that. We know this guy's an absolute idiot. He made up some BS. It's totally wrong. He owes a lot of people a lot of apologies. He's still doubling down, but he's clearly an idiot, right? So you have him in this month. R. Kelly, he gets arrested. I'm like, didn't we just do this like 10 years ago? What happened? I guess he just put out another album. Everyone forgot about it. So we got R. Kelly. It's done his thing. Tristan Thompson got caught cheating again. Come on, Tristan. Just be single. Just be single. Dude, if you just want to smash like Hulk, just be single. I get it. When I was single, I used to have me and my boys used to have a one common phrase. Or at least our saying. I won't say phrase, but our saying. I don't turn nothing down but my collar. That's what it was, right? I don't turn nothing down but my collar. So I get it. You're just out there, and you know, like I said, net fishing. I get it. I get that's what you're going to do, man. Then don't be in a relationship. Just be single and just do what you want to do, man. Tristan messed it up for us, man. I saw some dude named Billy Porter wore a dress to the Oscars. I mean, dude wore a dress to the... I just want to know if I could just do a Black History Month reset. I don't know who I'd have to talk to about this. I don't know if there's a committee, but I'd just like to do a reset. I just feel like, can we just focus on, you know, some of the staples, the Martins, the Roses, can we just go back to that? Because you guys, Jussie and Smollett and R, like, you guys are ruining the month for those who really was enjoying February. All right, screw it. By the way, if you just heard that, and you think it's going to be really cool to go to your Black coworker today and tell them, like, hey, I heard this joke by this onward guy. Don't do it. You're going to get fired. Just don't do it. You're going to get fired from your job. So just leave it alone. You can play me in the background and maybe the person hears it and they think it's kind of funny, but just don't approach. We're in a PC world. And I need you here on the yak and helping support me here. So don't do anything silly. Don't get funny. Just want to let you know, don't get cute. All right? So, man, check this out, man. This is an interesting week. This is an interesting week, especially from a sports perspective. And I just, for this podcast, I'm just going to go everywhere. I got so many thoughts, so many different things. We're still in the NFL offseason, right? So, I mean, NFL offseason, of course, but college offseason. So, there's still lots of things that are going on. So there's like a lot of things, but not one main theme or one main thing to focus on, especially from a UT perspective, because we already talked about the Larry Fedora stuff last week. They hired another guy that we were able to confirm on Friday. And we're still waiting on David Beatty, and I don't know what the hell's up with that contract, but something's got to be up with that contract that he's not able to get out of it. So there's just like, there's a tons of little things going on with Texas related. I think I should know probably within the next 2 weeks, should be able to give Orange Bloods subscribers some more information on team workouts. I've asked about it, just if you guys want to know, I've asked about it. But I've been told it's not enough to glean right now that's worth passing along. But my sources said give them maybe another more 2 weeks. I know you're going to say, well, damn, spring ball's going to be around the corner at that point. I get it, but I'm not just going to say stuff just to say it. You know, oh my God, Gerard Hurd looked amazing in the weight room. Like, I mean, come on now. I don't want to, you know, piss on your leg and tell you it's raining. So I'd rather give you the information when there actually is information to be had, as opposed to just throwing some stuff out there that's just little, throwing crumbs out there, and then you're just wondering what the hell does this even mean, especially when we start getting towards training camp and you're pissed off because I told you something in February that didn't happen. So that being said, Let's just go everywhere, right? So NFL Combine is this week. That's probably like the big thing. This is a guy who used to cover the NFL. I can definitely feel I'm more than qualified to talk about the NFL Combine and what's going to happen, right? I want everybody, and this is my PSA. I'm going to do this every single year. That's just who I am. And it rubs NFL analysts the wrong way. They hate when I start talking about this because they make a living. Like, these guys make a living, these draft experts, and I put that in air quotes, right? But they make a living off of telling you, guy's stock is rising, guy's stock is falling, guy's stock is doing this, guy's stock doing that, right? They make a living off of all the speculation. Then at the end of the day, the draft comes, someone throws a trade in and about the fourth pick or fifth pick, and then their whole mock draft just gets blown up to smithereens. They end up getting a couple right, and we just always move on from it. So my thing is, I just want to tell you guys, as relates to the NFL Combine, I want you guys to know and want you guys to be informed. Do not buy into the smoke screens. Do not buy into the hype. Understand a couple of things as relates to the NFL Combine that's going to happen this week, okay? The most important aspect of the Combine, the real reason that the Combine exists, this is the crux of why the Combine exists, is for NFL teams to get medical information about players. It is the main reason. This is how this thing really got started, and one of the main reasons why, because teams wanted to be able to have doctors look at them, right? So this allows teams to get the full medical. There may have been a guy who's been playing on a bum knee and never really thought much of it. He goes to the combine, they do a thorough examination of the knee, and then they find out, oh, by the way, you've been playing on an MCL. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe you've had some ligament tears, things to that effect. So the NFL Combine, the main purpose, forget 40s and forget shuttles and forget the bench and forget all those type of things. The main purpose of the NFL Combine is for medical information for teams. Here is the dirty truth. Here is what people don't like to tell you. And this is why people get pissed off at me when I tell the truth, because this is honest. Because I've written stories about this, right? I wrote stories about this when I was in Tampa, when Mark Dominic was the GM, when Bruce Allen was the GM before him, when I was in Detroit and Martin Mayhew was the GM there. I've written stories about this. And essentially, most teams enter in. This is crazy, right? Most teams enter the combine with their draft board already set. I'm going to repeat that. Most teams go to the NFL Combine and their draft board is already set. They already got stuff. So here's the thing. Let me go back. Getting ahead of myself. Let me go back. So during this football season, let's say it's college football season, you'll start hearing things about, oh, this guy's stock's going up. Oh, this guy's stock going down. You'll hear people speculate and say, well, we've heard that this guy could be a first-round pick. You know who's saying that and putting out that information? It's regional scouts. Can I tell you that regional scouts, like, for essentially, if you have a little bit of football knowledge, and I'm not to be totally disrespectful to regional scouts, but they are the low man on the totem pole. They are just the low man on the totem pole. The regional scout, what they do is they go out to games, go to talk to coaches, look at some film, and they basically do paperwork. They draw up paperwork and they essentially feed that information back to the entire scouting department, the GM, so on and so forth, right? But here's what happens. Okay, so during the football season, right, what are coaches doing, NFL coaches doing? What are their assistants doing? What are the coordinators doing? They're focused on the season. They're focused on the game plans. They're focusing on week to week. These guys are not sitting down and thinking anything about college football. They're not sitting down and having meetings on Tuesday and going over Colin Johnson's film. That's just not what's happening. So then here's what does happen. When the football season finally ends, that's when the football coaches decide to look through film. So whatever advice that the regional scout may have given or anything he may have said back in August or September, guys, it doesn't matter, because this is really where in January, where the film work really begins. And that's when teams start going through it and they start looking at guys and they start having the meetings and the strategies about it. And they start building and analyzing. So they spend those 2 months or so figuring out, okay, this is the guys that we really, really, really want. These are the guys that we feel are our top guys, whether it's position by position, whether it's overall. That's how they break it down. So by the time they get to the combine, they already know what they want to see. Or know who they want to see. And the things that they're looking for as the on-the-field stuff, is just competitiveness, you know, drive, body language. The combine is also for interviews, because teams do interviews with players usually in the evening time. Interviews don't last long. Sometimes it's 15 minutes. But those interviews happen. And again, it's just teams trying to get a feel for certain guys. But often, it's a smokescreen. Because I've covered guys who have told me they've been drafted by a team that never spoke to them at the combine, that didn't have a head coach go out for their pro day. But sometimes the team is so into a guy that they don't want to tip their hat, so they won't even go and interview the guy at the combine. I mean, this is kind of the games that are being played. And so that's why I say you got to be careful with the narratives and be careful with people who are giving you the absolutes and they're telling you this is absolutely happening or this is absolutely happening. Or, which is my favorite, I love it, after the combine, someone says, well, someone's draft stock is rising. No, it's not rising, okay? It just means you just realize that this person is somewhat athletic. But no matter what happens, even at the combine, guys, no matter what happens, teams always go back to the film. No matter what they see at the combine, they will always go back to the film, right? Because film don't lie. They're not going to draft a guy in the first round because he ran a 4.3. Especially if he's got bad film. He could just be a fast guy to nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Like the film is not going to lie. That's why people, I got into this real debate with somebody. It was after Chris Boyd's, how he struggled, obviously, during the Senior Bowl. And I got into this debate with somebody who was trying to tell me how the NFL works, right? Which I thought was pretty freaking hilarious. And started to tell me, well, Chris Boyd's going to run fast on his, probably on his pro day, probably at the combine. So that'll make up for it. And I'm like, that's not how it works. He can run fast all he wants to. Team's going to go back to the film. Film don't lie. And so that's what I'm saying. When you start watching the combine, this and that, all this stuff, just get for the information purposes, but you really, really won't know for sure until the actual draft happens. And this is what's going to be interesting, I think, about this year's combine, right? Is because there's always going to be talking points and things that people focus on. If I could put money on something, I'm just guaranteeing, because usually the coach talks at the combine and usually the general manager will speak at the combine. Of every team, in addition to every player does interviews at the combine. So what they really do for the media, that you can be a part of a group, but it has to be a small group, select group of people can go out and watch positions. If you say for sure, hey, I want to watch the quarterbacks perform on a specific day, you can do that. You got to also end up being a pool reporter. Pool reporter basically means you're the person that passes along a lot of information on things that you saw while you were out there. But they don't take the entire media and just let them sit in the stands. Like the media actually has a media room. They sit in there and then they bring in the players. They bring in the general managers. They bring in the coaches. And only a small group, which usually like, you know, 15, maybe 20, gets to go out and watch position groups. And that just is kind of determined by request and things to that effect. And I mean, make sure you're a member of like Pro Football Writers Association, little things like that, right? I am just going to guess. And I'm not going to guess. I won't put it out there. I don't think the Patriots are going to have anybody speaking, because they don't have to. It's not required. I don't think after the stuff with Bob Kraft, they're going to have any representation, at least media interviews during the combine. I don't expect Bill Belichick to be behind a podium. I don't expect the GM to be behind a podium. I don't expect the Patriots to want any of that smoke, because, whoa, damn Robert Kraft. Man, if you're spending 50, 60 bucks on a massage, I mean, you tell me the last time you got a massage that was only $60. But I mean, the hard part, the crazy part about the whole situation is now he's got himself involved with the whole sex trafficking thing. Because it's not just, oh man, like, you know, I paid this woman for, you know, something, and that was kind of it. Or we did stuff, and I just went, took her shopping, right? I just took her on a shopping spree. Like, he's caught up in some of those women were sex traffic workers, and that's bad. Like, that's definitely a horrible look. That's not a good look. And he's trying to claim innocence, but the investigators say, like, yeah, we got you on film. Man, you don't want those films, you don't want that to come out. So I totally don't anticipate that. And by the way, am I the only one that thinks that this whole Patriot Way thing is just one of the biggest mounds of BS that we've ever heard? Remember all the people who say, man, well, you know, the one thing about the Patriots is everyone falls in line. Everyone falls in line with the Patriots. Like, you know, no matter when you go there, everyone knows what to do. And that's a class organization, this and that. It's like, does everyone just always conveniently forget that Aaron Hernandez played for the Patriots? I mean, next time someone brings that up and brings up that argument about, man, everyone follows the Patriot way. Like, Aaron Hernandez was a Patriot who was rewarded with a second contract. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to hear about the Patriot way. I mean, we've got Belichick got caught cheating. You've got Deflategate. You got a guy who was pretty much a serial killer. And then you got Robert Kraft with the, you know, oh man, this is what I don't understand about people with money. Like, people with money just don't make good pimping decisions. They just don't. They make bad, like Tiger Woods, for instance, right? Tiger Woods, think about Tiger Woods. All the money in the world, got almost as much money as God does, right? And what does Tiger Woods do? Tiger Woods, all that money, and Tiger Woods gets caught cheating because the chick calls his phone. Tiger Woods ain't not even thinking about, you know what, I should at least get a B phone. What's a B phone onward? At least get a prepaid cell phone from the freaking 7-Eleven. And that's the cell phone that you use for your side chicks, your side pieces. And then as soon as you get ready to go in the house, you turn the thing off and you throw it inside your car and under the trunk or underneath the tire or something like that. I'm not saying I've done it. I'm just saying my pimp game is very comprehensive and I can give advice towards anyone. don't follow my advice. And I don't want your woman coming after my ass, okay? And for that, I got to have another drink, right? If you was Tiger Woods, if I was Tiger Woods, I would have told him, pimping 101, okay, listen here, Tiger. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to dip and dodge, try to slide in and out, because I get it. You was a nerd back in California or Sanford, wherever he was raised, right? You didn't really get a lot of women. I get it. So now all of a sudden, you can't say no. So you see a chick in Walmart and she wants you. You say yes. You see a Waffle House chick. You say yes. You see a Denny's worker. You say yes. You go to the Dollar General store and you say yes. Like, you go to get your car washed and the girl who's like drying off your car, you're like, I know she's got a record. She probably stole a little bit of money out my dashboard or my cigarette tray or whatever the case may be. But you know what? I still got to do it because I'm just not used to having this stuff kind of thrown at me, right? And I get it, man. I get it. Women get it thrown at them. What does Chris Rock say? Women get offered it, what, 5-6 times a day? Women always get the offers, right? Guys, fellas, we don't always get those offers, right? So it's hard for guys to say, just say no, right? It's just hard for guys to say no. But this is what I would have told Tiger back in that situation. I would say, listen, Tiger, I get it. You want to sling. Like, I get you want to sling it, right? You hire somebody, one of your boys. Not me, because I won't get caught up in your mess. You pay them 100 G's. Their job is to be your pimping concierge. Essentially, they take all the phone calls from the chicks. He's the middleman. He takes care of everything. Your hands don't get into nothing. And then he'll send you a text like, hey, let's get together on a Friday night and go out to Top Golf or something like that. You know what I'm saying? You have your own codes and stuff. And just dig it through. You got all the money in the world. And you got this thing being sent to your phone. Robert Kraft has got billions? I mean, I don't even know. I can't count that high. I'm about to lose all my money trying to get this house. And you in a massage parlor, dude? Man, I know chicks right now who would have been taken care of Robert Kraft. And they would have been discreet as hell. He didn't have to go to no crazy massage parlor, and they just would have been legit people who just wanted some Gucci bags or some purses or to fly out somewhere, and they would have put that. Robert Kraft could go and get an Instagram model, like just without even thinking. Like, if I was Robert Kraft, I'd be like, man, just get your Instagram page, man. Watch the DMs come through. We good, Bobby. We done got to go to this thing massage. I don't even trust massage parlor, man. If it ain't like a massage envy or something like that, I don't even go. I'm just being honest with you. They ain't gonna get me on a sting and then have me on Texags or something like that talking crap about me or Sooner Scoop or some of those other places. Like, nah, man. I don't even try to do a massage, something like that. So that's gonna be a big topic. That's gonna be a huge topic this week, right? As relates to the NFL scouting combine. You know, I think it's gonna be in the scouting combine for sure next year, though. Colin Johnson. I definitely, he would have probably been there this year. I definitely think Colin Johnson, I think Colin Johnson is just one just breakout season away from being first rounder. I think he showed progress this past year. I think he showed some progress. I think Colin Johnson, in order to become that receiver, when we start thinking impact receiver, the guy that just stretches the field, the guy that makes teams play, I mean, he's a good, strong receiver, don't get me wrong. But we start seeing a little bit more of that dog out of him last year. Like, last year was the first year you saw that dog out of Colin Johnson. You're like, okay. He's not just a little California guy. He's not California soft, but he's got some dog in him. He's got some hardcore in him. I see it. I see he's listening to some rap music or something like that. I gotcha. Listen to some Tekashi or something to that effect. I just threw a young reference out there. I don't even know who's real hot, to be going honest with you. You know, listen to his Kanye, and now no one listens to Kanye anymore. Drake, there you go. Just throw guys out there. Colin's that dude, though. I think he's got the potential to be that dude. I think he's got the potential to be one of the best receivers in the Big 12 Conference. And, of course, if you want one of the best receivers in the Big 12 Conference, you end up being one of the best receivers in the country. And I just think he's got that potential. I just think that he's just a few big plays away from just being that guy. And if he could be a big play guy... I definitely think the sky's the limit for him. If he ends up being kind of more of a possession receiver, then I just see him maybe as a second, third roundish pick. But, I mean, Mel Kiper's really high on him. And, you know, I don't doubt Mel Kiper. I know some people have, you know, give Mel Kiper, like, a lot of shit. And, like, oh, he's Mel Kiper, like, with the hair and blah, blah, blah. But I don't give a guy like Mel Kiper shit, because people get mad and say, well, Mel Kiper got it wrong. Well, Mel Kiper didn't get this right. Or Mel Kiper mock draft is wrong and stuff like that, right? And I just like, well, you know what? Honestly, most NFL GMs get it wrong. And just, if you're just keeping it real, you follow an NFL team, how many times has your team missed on a guy? I mean, how many times? Would it a couple of times a year, right? You just go through the drafts. Has your team had a draft that just 1 through 7, you just said they nailed every single pick? NFL's weird, right? I mean, Puna Ford is a guy who ends up being undrafted, ends up being a star, or, you know, a future breakout star, at least in Seattle. If we had to do it all over again, no team would pass on him 7 times. And hell, Seattle would have not even taken the risk if they felt like he was going to be that good. But because he didn't have some of the measurables, then, you know, he got knocked down. So that's what I said. I don't give it, you know, a hard time. It's also going to be interesting about the combine, though, staying on that topic for a second. My man, you know, Kyler Murray. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Kyler. Because this guy is short. He's short. He's small. And teams are really going to have to really, really, really die. I was watching Undisputed on Monday morning, and I thought Shannon Sharpe made a really interesting point. I listened to Undisputed over First Take because there's just too much yelling and too much craziness going on First Take. I just cannot start my morning off like that. Like, I like to start my mornings off peaceful, calm, but kind of ramp it up throughout the day. Like, I just can't start off at 9 o'clock in the morning talking about, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, I can't do that first thing in the morning. Like, it's just too much on me. It's kind of ridiculous. He made a point, though. He said something to Shannon Sharpe, said something I thought was really interesting, that if you are an established coach, drafting Kyler Murray is fine. You could take that risk. If you're not an established coach, you can't take that risk because he doesn't have a long body of work. You know, Baker Mayfield had a long body of work. The Drew Brees of the world, they had a long body of work. Russell Wilson, he had a long body of work, right? All these guys had that work before they got drafted. And Kyler Murray doesn't really have that. He has a season and some change. And so what you don't know is, can he do it consistently year in and year out? I don't know. So I thought it was a really good point that, look, and we don't, I don't think any of us expect him to go drop past Miami at 13. It would just be a shot if he drops past Miami at 13. I'm not saying I wouldn't draft the guy at all. Just an interesting, where is he going to go? What kind of fit is he going to be? It'd be really interesting to me, a couple of things. How does he do in the interviews? You know, does he come across as a guy who's coachable, come across as a guy that teams can lean on and depend on? Or he's going to come across a little smug, he's going to come across a little bit arrogant, or team's going to shy away from him because they don't like it? You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in those interviews. It'll also be interesting to see what kind of on-the-field things he does. Because I don't know what he's going to do. There's been a lot of reports that says he won't throw at the combine, and then he'll just go to his pro day and throw, have a lot of scripted plays to receivers that he's comfortable with, and not take that risk. Because look, at the combine, you're just throwing to guys. They just throw to them. And you don't know their speed. You've never worked with them before. And, you know, it's tough on receivers. It's tough on quarterbacks. You just got to do the best that you can. There's a lot of guesswork that goes into that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens when it comes to that. And wouldn't it just be funny? This would be the ultimate, I think, Kyler Murray move. Wouldn't it be funny if just Kyler Murray got drafted by, who? I don't know, Raiders. Let's just throw Raiders out. Like, he got drafted by the Raiders and then said, all right, I'm not showing up. And unless you guys show me like a lot of money, if not, I want Oakland to pay me more and now go play baseball, right? That would be the ultimate Kyler Murray move, which is if you get drafted in the NFL and then say he's going to hold out for a baseball contract. Like that is what I would expect. We're going to see what happens. Hopefully he doesn't do anything crazy like that. I think, obviously, I've said before, football is his love. That's what he loves to do. He's really good at baseball, but he loves football. So we're going to see what he does. That being said, I still think Texas has a really good shot to win the Big 12 title this year because I just don't think Jalen Hurts is the next Kyler Murray, and I don't think he's the next Baker Mayfield. I think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's that quality of good, and I'm not quite sure, but quite honest with you, if he's even better than Sam Ellinger at this point. And I know you may say that's sacrilegious. Let's take Jalen Hurts off Alabama. Basically, let's take Jalen Hurts off an NFL team, and then let's see what he does at Oklahoma, which I'm not saying Oklahoma doesn't have talent because that's ridiculous to be a ridiculous assertion, but you guys get what I'm saying. You guys get my point. All right, so a couple of last things. Let's just wrap this thing up. I don't even know. Speaking of wanting to redo a Black History Month, Shaka Smart. Okay, maybe I should. Was that me? I'm sorry. But man, that team is bad. Okay, they're not bad. They're just so inconsistent. It just is what it is. And I'm just still trying to understand. I'm still trying to understand Shaka's recruiting philosophy. I'm just trying to understand what he's trying to do here. I'm just trying to, because people, you can tell me all day you want. I know you guys will tell me, well, man, those guys were able to shoot in high school. Well, you got to be able to determine who is going to translate from a high school shooter to a college shooter. And there's a lot of things you got to look at. It's the fundamentals, it's the mechanics, like it's the footwork, there's so many little things. And for some reason, you just don't have those shooters. Now, Texas fought back. They played fought back against Oklahoma. Maybe Kerwin Roach is in that game. They do win it. And I get it. I mean, but you know, Shaka's great at getting big men. Like he's great. He's great at getting big men. It's just some of these other guys, the two guard. Like I think that's going to be on his tombstone when it's all said and done. Like here lies Shaka Smart, could never recruit an outstanding two guard. If you just can get enough. And I'm not, look, Matt Coleman as a point was great. You know, but Matt Coleman was never really viewed as a deadly shooter. So he's at the point, and he just never really had a deadly two guard. And there's just got to be a guy out there in the country where all he can do is shoot threes. Maybe in mid-range jumpers too, because God knows they struggle sometimes with the mid-range. But to be able to shoot threes, get the mid-range, and it just doesn't seem like they're able to find that guy. And, you know, it just is what it is. I was talking to a friend of mine today. He's on Monday, and he's a Texas fan. He's an alum, and we were talking about the basketball team. He goes, man, well, all I can tell you is, man, I'm sure they're going to give somebody hell in the NIT. And I just told him, look, man, look, if you ever get on the phone with me again and you start talking about Texas running things in the NIT, I mean, today I'm going to let this slide, but I promise you I'm going to hang up on you in the future. Like, I'm just going to discontinue the conversation. I'm not going to block you, but at least you're going to be put in a timeout for at least 5 days. Like, I'm just not going to put up and tolerate that kind of stupidity on my line, especially when I have to pay for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the standard cannot be that low where you're saying, man, give him hell in the NIT. I said like this. I said, this is what I asked him. I said, okay, you want to give him hell in the NIT? I got one question for you. Can you tell me who won the NIT tournament last year? Can you tell me who won it 2 years ago? In fact, can you tell me any NIT winner? With conviction. Conviction. Not guessing. I would have guessed, like, St. John's may have won one at one point. I could guess. Maybe Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? I did look it up. I saw, like, TCU won it a couple of years ago, which, for whatever that's worth. Texas Tech is pretty good at basketball this year. I'm just late to that party, but damn, they're pretty good. So, yeah, anyway, let's just see what happens. We're going to see if Texas even, what they do. I don't know if they finish with a winning record in their next couple of games. I don't mean an overall winning record, but for their last few games, I think it's touch and go on every single game. I don't expect Curran Roach, to be quite honest with you, if it's a university suspension, it is what we think it is. I'm not expecting him to be back for the rest of the year. Like, he definitely got bigger problems in playing basketball. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. They're not going to suspend you on a Friday and then reinstate you next week. I mean, unless, never mind. I was going to say something, but I'm not going to get sued. I was just going to say, unless you can tell me there's a different outcome from the reason why he was suspended. Ain't enough cranberry juice in the world for that. Okay, let's move on. And I don't know that to be true. But I'm just, hey, I'm in my element. Last thing, man. Saw Zach, Evans. I saw Jake, and I didn't see him, but I saw Jason Sukumil had a good story about Zach Evans, the great running back out of North Shore. Right, man, look at your man talking about recruiting, man. I got recruiting, man. I'm into this recruiting thing. I'm into it. I never was into it before, but I am into recruiting right now. He talked about Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Georgia being schools that he's going to visit. But, you know, Texas is still in the mix, so he wants to get a lot of out-of-state visits done and then focus on the in-state guys. So I was looking at that list, right? I was like, Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Well, I scratched Georgia off the list just on GP. I don't. And Georgia's a team that saw key guys decide to leave after last season. So I just don't see Georgia being happening in the mix. Maybe I'll be wrong, but let's just scratch that off. Oklahoma, I mean, I guess, but nah. I mean, he's not going to leave the state of Texas to go to Oklahoma. All right. Yeah, Alabama's on the table, right? I mean, what are you gonna do? So I'm gonna cross that over, and I just feel like it's gonna be Clemson, Alabama, and then Texas, and that's why I think that the top three is gonna be, because I mean, and what's the purpose of going to A&M to what, finish third in your conference every year? Like, okay, congratulations on that. And then what's interesting is that he also said that he would be interested in playing with Kendall Milton, who's a 5-star. Out of California, and he said he would love to go there. Well, Texas is interested in him, and that would be one of those would have been since Malcolm Brown and Jonathan Gray, when the Texas got 2 5-star running backs, that it could be that kind of potential impact, and just assuming that all these guys stay healthy and reach their full potential. But I'm keeping an eye on Zach Evans, because Zach Evans is that dude. Like, Zach Evans is legit. I mean, he may not be the next Adrian Peterson, by the way, that's the guinea pigs, if you heard that in the background. Guinea pigs are still in the house. The Shih Tzu taking a nap right now. But all people are present and accounted for. But keeping an eye on recruiting and see how that thing's going to play out. But I found the Zach Evans thing and him keeping the door open for Texas just once again shows that Tom Herman and staff and Brian Carrington and apparently even Stan Drayton are doing the damn thing as far as recruiting is concerned. And we're just going to see if they're able to sealed that deal at some point. He's a guy that it seems like Zach Evans will be trending towards committing probably at least before he starts his senior year of high school. But you never know how that goes going to go. But really, since the guy is planning to graduate in December and be an early enrollee, you've got to expect that he's going to make a decision sooner than later. And by sooner, I don't mean the Sooners, but we'll see how that entire thing plays out. All right, guys. We will talk later in the week. Wish me luck on that appraisal tomorrow. Granted, I have nothing to do with it. But, hey, just send out positive vibes because I will need a place to live apparently really, really soon. Either this house is going to be sold or I'm going to be in a home or we're going to be Airbnb in it for a while. But hopefully it doesn't come to that. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Once again, if you stuck through to the end, thank you. I appreciate you guys making this into one of the more popular, if not the, we're like number two or three. I got to go back to catch. We have a Yak meeting this week. And by the way, this is a guy from the Yak. And I guess he was joking on one of my Sunday pulpit, said that Yak sucks, OP sucks, right? Meaning OP, you know, original poster. And I didn't realize it was a Yak employee. So I just responded back, well, you're still on here and paying the bills regardless. So, and I just put like a laughing gif on it. Then someone like a few hours later, like, hey, doesn't he work for the Yak? I'm like, oh, collateral damage, man. I mean, you were shooting, man. I was shooting. I didn't even know who I was shooting at, man. I just shot back. I'm sorry. Anyway, we'll be interesting meeting because we got a Yak meeting on Wednesday. So that'll be interesting. Outside of that, though, appreciate you guys. Love you guys. I will be back here later on in the week, and I hope to have some good stories, some good sports topics. You guys be safe. Talk to you soon.